Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds, longtime publisher of Pewter Report, 47 years.
Pewter Nation Podcast.
Pewter Nation Podcast. Is that not what I said?
You've been doing this since you were one?
No, I have not.
Oh.
I was just correcting Mark. I'll correct you again. It's not 47 years.
No?
It's not even 74 years.
Well,
it's,
you might have had the expertise from when you were 1 year old, but you weren't able to articulate it until.
Yeah. I actually think that because my mom was a huge football fan, I actually got some knowledge in the womb.
That could be true.
Just saying.
Could be true.
That's weird.
No, it's
all
true.
Right, let's move on from that. Along with Trevor Sikkim of the Man Bun himself.
Hello.
Trevor.
Yes, Florida fired their coach.
I expected to see a haircut by now.
No, still
it's
going strong.
Past Halloween.
Yeah, well, I had... yeah, I got nothing.
Did you go out of Stamkos?
Did I go what?
Did you go out for Halloween?
No,
Stamkos?
I did a Viking thing. Oh, well, you didn't see
right.
My hair yesterday.
No.
Oh, it was...
I had it literally
scary.
Braided all the way down.
Sweet.
It was. It was
send
pretty
me a picture.
Sweet. Okay.
I told Ira Kaufman I would give him $100 if he does that with his hair.
He did. Right before Cutter came onto the podium, he looks at Ira and he's like, I'll give you $100 if you do that with your hair. And Ira just looks at me and he's like, $500.
Yeah, make it five.
Let's be real. Ira Kaufman would die before his hair got
long. That long. Yeah, there's no way it's ever going to get that long. Yeah. He's
I have faith in Ira.
Just happy
I think
that
Ira
has
could rock
hair.
It. I don't know. Forget you guys.
Do you have faith in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, gentlemen?
No.
No?
I do. No. Why not? They're 5-2.
No.
Well, actually, you answered it at the end.
They're 2-5.
What?
You got to flip that.
Oh, yeah. They're 2-5.
My dyslexia kicks in at the worst possible time sometimes.
It does.
I've been all excited. I got flags flying from my Toyota Tercel 1984 wagon. And you're telling me this team's 2-5.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
Nope. No, literally.
Florida State's 5-2, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
They are.
Yeah.
But in seriousness, how in the world is this team 2-5?
Wait.
I said there's no way this team doesn't make the playoffs unless there's a terrible rash of injuries. So Jameis Winston must have missed 5 games, right?
No, he hasn't missed a game yet.
No.
I'll tell you
but
why.
But DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, and Gerald McCoy have all been hurt.
No, they have not. I mean, a little ankle sprain for Gerald for sure, but I'll tell you why this team is 2-5. Actually, Jameis Winston and Gerald McCoy told us why. Because this team does not have an identity.
Yep.
Both players today were asked, does this team have an identity? And both of them said no. And that is stunning, and it's damning.
Yep.
7 games mm-hmm. into this season
yep.
that this team lacks an identity. Because that identity, with the personnel that you have on offense and defense, should have been forged in training camp in the preseason.
Yep.
You should hit September running with what your identity is. Now, if you have, let's say you're the Green Bay Packers and you lost Aaron Rodgers earlier in the season.
Difference, for sure.
It's different. You got to change your identity because Brett Hundley cannot sling the ball around to Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams the way that Aaron Rodgers could.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
Oh. Well,
although he might against this Buccaneers secondary in a couple weeks.
By saying this team doesn't have an identity, they've basically revealed their identity.
Does that make sense? That's
yeah.
deep.
That is deep, but yes, it makes some sense.
I mean, their identity is what they are.
Yeah, it's
a bad 2-5 football team who
it's a rudderless
doesn't play
ship
complimentary
right now.
Football,
yeah.
who can't seem to get things going for more than one half on offense, a Jekyll and Hyde defense that gives up 38 points, 34 points.
On the road.
19, but only 19 points to Tom Brady, and then they come back and only give up 17 points last week and still can't win a football game.
Yeah.
You know, the topic over the last week or so, really since the loss to Carolina, even loss to Buffalo, people have been talking about the future of Dirk Cutter and, you know, the timing with Jason Light's contract being up and how they're going to handle all that and what this team is going to look like in the front office and the coaching staff next year. And there are a lot of people who are saying you can't get rid of these guys. We can't just be a revolving door at head coach. But the counterpoint is that if you don't have the guy, you don't have the guy.
Yeah.
And the moment over the last week that has really resonated with me is when, I believe it was on Monday, Cutter was asked kind of what his message to this team was at this point. You know, like, what do you do? Obviously, whatever you are calling, whatever you guys are, because like Mark joked about it at the beginning of the podcast here a couple of minutes ago, there haven't been a ton of injuries.
Right.
Like, okay, Quan Alexander, whatever. I know he's a key part of the defense, but come on.
This team is more talented than it was a year ago.
Absolutely, and they're doing less with it. And when Cutter was asked, hey, you know, what do you tell this team? Where do you go from here? And that was, to me, this was a moment where he could have kind of, I don't want to say let his guard down as a coach, but it just, like, be real. Mm-hmm. Like, be real in the moment. And what he chose to do was he gave a robotic answer that you would give during the preseason.
Yeah.
That, well, we just got to go to work. We got to keep working on what we got. No. What you're working on
does not work. Not working, yes.
So you telling us that means that you have no idea what's wrong. And that is my thing with the coaching and the coaching carousel and whatever. You know, people are talking about Gruden and this and that, and that's just besides the point. I'm just talking about whether they want to be another team that fires a head coach after 2 years or something like that. And I get that you don't want to be that. I do, but and even, you know, Derek from What the Buck was talking about earlier this week on Twitter, he was saying, you got to give people time. And sometimes I totally agree with you, but you can only give people time if you believe in what they're doing.
That's right.
I don't know if I believe Cutter because of how he had a chance to answer that and chose to either not or truly he doesn't know. So that's where I don't know.
I watched that press conference on Monday, and I was there Sunday night after the game. In there, and it just seemed to me like Dirk Cutter was befuddled on both occasions. On Sunday, right after the loss, and then on Monday after watching the film.
They just don't know.
Yeah, he can't put his finger on what it's going to take to make this team respond and have offense and defense and special teams play in conjunction to deliver a win. And I think this team has the kicking situation figured out, knock on wood. Pat Murray has been perfect since he's been here, and that was a bugaboo that has plagued this franchise for a while. So you've got one hole in the dike plugged, but again, like you were saying, Mark, it's which offense or defense is going to show up in New Orleans?
And the defense, I have no answers for. Offensively, it's Jameis Winston. It falls on Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston plays well, they have a tremendous second halves. If Jameis Winston plays crappy, they look like they do against the Panthers. His consistency is the biggest concern for me. I don't give a damn about the top rated passing offense in the league. I don't give a damn about any of those stats.
Jameis said it on
Thursday. He said those stats don't matter either.
Yeah, Todd Monken called them window dressing today.
Right.
All that matters is points and wins. You got to score enough points to win, and winning is the ultimate thing.
And Jameis said, I'm judged on wins as the quarterback, and right now I'm not winning.
Yeah.
I like Todd Monken.
I do too.
I don't necessarily say that as kind of like a conspiracy, like, oh, Todd Monken should do this and that, and maybe the head coach, maybe the play call, whatever. But
he's a straight shooter.
He is. Not only is he a straight shooter, but like you can ask him a question. Like, we will ask Cutter questions all the time, and if he doesn't like it, he will either deflect it or make the question seem stupid or give a robotic answer. That's just how Cutter is.
Yes.
And I get it. For, you know, first time head coach, he's handling the pressure. I get it. Whatever. But when you ask Todd Monken a question,
you're going to get an answer.
You're going to get a real answer. And sometimes you will ask him, and he'll kind of like sit there and he'll be like, huh. And he'll think about it for a second and then give you the actual answer of what it is. Because if, like, for example, we asked him about identity. Do you guys have an identity? No.
Right.
We don't. Well, and for whatever reason.
Let it be known for the record now, Trevor Sikkim is calling for Todd Monken to replace Dirk Cutter as head coach of the Buccaneers this week.
Pitchforks and Fires, 12:30 a.m. tonight. We'll have the chance. I'll hand out, you know, your cue cards, what the chants are going to be, and then, you know, we can get something going.
Well, I'm
going
to let you guys in on a little pre-SR's Fab 5 secret.
Oh, okay.
One of my particular fabs in this week's Fab 5 is picking up on your cue to have Dirk Cutter surrender the play calling duties to Todd Monken.
Well, listen, there's no precedent for that this season, and it obviously doesn't work. I mean,
it actually worked when the New York Giants did that at Denver, and Bob McAdoo turned the play calling duties over covertly
Bob McAdoo is a Hall of Famer basketball player. You're talking about Ben McAdoo.
Am I?
Yes.
Is it Ben McAdoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've said Bob a couple times.
It was one of the McAdoos.
There's only been two in the history of the world, Bob and Ben.
That's true.
I mean, have you ever met another McAdoo?
No,
have you ever been like, hi, I'm Mark Cook? Well, I'm Bill McAdoo.
Well, hold on a second. Have we seen Bob McAdoo and Ben McAdoo in the same room?
I have.
At the same time?
I've seen pictures of them, and they're a little bit different ethnicity. So I'm pretty sure they're not the same one.
It could be the camera, you know, the lighting.
It might be that, yeah.
One played in the 70s. One is coaching in the 2017 season.
Oh, they're brothers.
So Bob is probably, I don't know.
So you're saying no relation
then? 75 years old. Yeah, no. They're probably not related.
So let me correct the record. Ben McAdoo, I get the right McAdoo now, right? Ben McAdoo.
Yes.
Turned over the play calling to a very familiar face.
Yeah, Mikey Sullivan.
There you go.
My good buddy.
Former Bucks offensive coordinator.
Army Ranger. He's a real badass, Trevor. Nicest guy in the world.
Never met the
but
man.
But he will slip up behind you and cut your throat. He did it to a couple reporters in the hallway. We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, he was a Green Beret. For real. That's not even a joke. He was a Green Beret.
Okay.
Yep. So I don't know. I just think that if the Bucks lose
something
New Orleans,
change. Whatever it is, something.
I don't think it's going to hurt.
You can't be 2-7 and get up there and still think that you're the guy.
If they're 2-6, Jameis Winston's going on IR. They're tanking for the season, and they're trying to save their job.
I don't know about that. I'm not there yet.
The timing of everything is so weird because, do you shut down Jameis Winston knowing that if this team is 4-12 at the end of the year, Jason Light's contract is up. I don't think – I was telling people on Twitter this. Even if the Bucks were to finish, let's say 4-12, if Light still had another year in his contract you wouldn't fire him.
Right.
But do you re-sign him after a year like this? That's what makes the timing weird.
I don't
weird.
Think they're going to be shutting down anybody. I think that they're going to try.
I don't think so either. I think they're all playing
for their
jobs at this
point. They're going to try to get as many wins as possible. Yes. They're going to 7-9, you could maybe feel better about that
wins
together at the end of the season.
7-5, I think they're all okay.
Who's this team beating playing the way it's played the
not,
last
I,
couple
I,
weeks?
Not,
I'm not picking them to win.
Five more people, no.
I'm not picking them to win again until they do.
Right.
I'm tired of playing that game. And I picked the Panthers to win last week, and they did. And I think, did I pick them against the Bills? I picked the Bills. I have to go back and look.
I think I picked the Bills.
I'm an old man, so I don't know what I did 2 weeks ago.
I think I picked the Bills.
Well, wait until you get to my age, and we'll talk about forgetting stuff.
I can't remember. I really can't remember.
Well,
this whole season's such a blur at this point.
I picked the Panthers, and I think on the podcast I said I'm picking the Bucks, but once I learned Brent Grimes was going to be out,
which actually wasn't the X factor,
The young corners, Vernon Hargraves, really stepped up, and so did Ryan Smith. But they're going to get a challenge this week, and we'll have to see if Brent Grimes plays, because Drew Brees is a better passer than Cam Newton is.
What?
Yeah,
come on.
He is. Even though the Saints are running the ball better. They've got Alvin Kamara, and they've got Mark Ingram, who's coming off some fumbles. But, Mark Ingram always finds a way to play really well against the Bucks in New Orleans, it seems. He did that last year in a game that crippled the Bucks' chances of going to the playoffs. It really put them out of the mix.
We're
going
to find out if this team has any heart this
week. No. They have heart.
No.
You are not going to.
I don't believe that.
You are not going to get me to believe that. I know that's out there on the internet and stuff. People are questioning this team's heart. If you don't have heart, you don't come back in the second half against Arizona and finish the way they did. You don't come back in the fourth quarter against Buffalo and finish the way they did. You don't go toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots.
You don't understand what I'm saying. You get beat down. You kick a dog when you get home from work long enough. He's going to stay underneath the car when you get home after a while. This team's eventually going to stay under the car. Loss after loss is beating this team up. Will be fingers pointed, whether it's at themselves, or the offense, the defense, or the coaching staff. Yeah. I'm telling you, this team, we saw it happen in 2011, and I'm not saying this is Raheem Morris's 10-game losing streak team, but this team will eventually surrender.
I have not seen the Bucks tank yet.
I did in the first half of the
Arizona
game.
That's the first
game.
Half. If that had continued and they would have been smoked
38-0. Why do they have to wait till they're down 31-0? That's horse spit. That's ridiculous.
That is a problem.
How about going out there lining up and kicking somebody's ass from the first snap on? That's the heart I want to see. Maybe they have heart, but I want to see more heart. They got to have a lot
more
heart than they're showing.
They need first half heart. I'll give you that.
I need to see heart from this offense last week. the hell was the heart then?
Here's the thing. I don't think Jameis Winston is effectively leading this team on two accounts. Number one, listen, the pregame pep talks and stuff, in my opinion, stop that. You're the only quarterback in the league outside of Drew Brees who does the same chant before the Saints go out there that does that. Every other quarterback comes out focused, right? Tom Brady doesn't do that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't do that. Okay, they're rah-rah guys during the game, but they don't work themselves up into a frothy lather before the game and then come out and shoot blanks in the first quarter. And that's been the biggest part of Jameis' problem is play and execution in the first quarter, sometimes in the first series, going three and out, like they did last week. In my opinion, he needs to do what he said he needs to do, which is check himself, look in the mirror, and do something different. We talk about Dirk Koetter doing something different, hand the play calling duties off to Todd Monken. I think that the Jameis Winston needs to try a new approach. Mm-hmm. I know that that's him.
Less is more? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I know that that's him. I know that he wants to do that, but that works at Florida State, right? I don't know that that's serving this team well
now. It can work in the NFL, but as you and I were talking the other day on the phone or whenever it was, things lose effectiveness.
That's right.
I mean, look.
It's got to be special.
It's got to be special. Yeah. Last year, he writes the letter to the offense, kind of spurs the spur to the whole team.
Yeah.
Kind of spurs a little bit of that turnaround, maybe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. He can't do that this year.
Right.
It's got to be something different.
It's got to be something different. But it's got to be organic. It's got to be real.
Yeah. Here's what I didn't like about what he said today at the podium. He says, you know, we haven't had a team meeting about this where everybody's pointing fingers and stuff. Sometimes you have to have that. Sometimes you have to clear the air and demand accountability. And I've been around this team a long time, and I know times have changed, right? I'm not a millennial. That locker room's full of millennials.
I am. What do you mean to say?
What I'm saying is...
Got to get off their damn phones, right?
No. Get off your phone, Trevor. Do a podcast right
now. Get off the ping pong tables and turn that rap music down.
I'm not even talking about that, Uncle Fred. What I'm talking about...
What happened to Uncle Stan? Uncle Fred's brother?
He's taking a nap right now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
What I'm talking about is with Winston and his leadership style, you have to demand from your teammates that they do that. It's one thing to sit there and say, everybody needs to do that, but I guarantee you, out of the 53 guys in that locker room that are on the active roster, not everyone's going to do that.
Yeah.
There are players that won't do that. And what you have to do as the leader is make sure that everybody gets that message. You can't just look within yourself and say, I'll fix me, and this team's going to magically be better. No, all 53 guys have got to fix that. And you have a C in your chest for a reason. You need to make sure that's
Scott,
happening.
Scott, he can't. What is he going to do? Call a team meeting after looking like bit last week? You can't.
Who's
going to call the team meeting? You've got to have a resume.
Who?
You've got to have a resume.
I agree with that, actually.
Who on this team can call a team meeting?
I guess Gerald could.
With one tackle last week.
Well,
That's the same argument.
I mean, he's played relatively well looking at the film.
Agreed.
I mean, he's pushing through an injury. He's got a resume called 7 Pro Bowls or 6 Pro Bowls, whatever it is.
I understand that. That's not in his nature.
Jameis is a quarterback who hasn't been to the playoffs. He's a quarterback who just got done playing his worst game in 2 seasons.
Coming off of his best game probably in 2 seasons as well against Buffalo.
His best half of a season? Yeah, of the season, yes.
Yeah, I listen.
But again, he didn't come out and throw for 500 yards and start the game off hot. I mean, I just...
You talked to some players in the Bucs locker room yesterday. Mm-hmm. We talked about this heading into open locker room yesterday.
Yeah.
Has this team done anything in terms of a players-only meeting? Not that that's the magic panacea, not that that's the magic bullet that's going to cure this.
Right.
But again, you said it, Trevor, and you've said it, and I'll say it. What they're doing right now is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Some things have to change in order for this situation to get better.
Yeah. I think the problem is that a lot of the key pieces, or even the key players, are like Mark said there. Like, you need a resume. This isn't. It's easier to do this in college because the oldest you could be is, you know, like 3 years experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's a little different. You can command a little bit of different respect. But
I think Jameis commands an awful lot of respect.
No. I think he does too. But no, and I'm not trying to question any of that. But like you just said, Jameis never been to the playoffs.
Jameis said no.
And
neither is Gerald
McCoy. Right, but look at the players who have been to the playoffs on this team. Brent Grimes,
McDonald.
Clint McDonald.
Deshaun Jackson.
Chris Baker.
Deshaun Jackson, Chris Baker, TJ Ward. And these are guys who are either new and can't command the locker room like they need to.
Right.
Or they're quiet guys. Jerry McCoy's not going to do it. Clint McDonald's not going to do it. Brent Grimes ain't going to do it.
If Brent, but let me just throw this name out there. If Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes quiet, trying to retire.
I'm just saying, quiet, shy.
Yes.
Says, you know what? Get your asses together. This is bullspit. My career is ending. Gerald McCoy's on the tail end of his career. He's never been to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, would that almost be more effective?
Yes. Without a doubt.
I don't think it's
right. No, I don't think it's his personality.
I mean, I'm with you.
Right.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The people who could command the fire have either not been here long enough.
Like Juan Alexander.
Or just like aren't in a position to do it, and the people that are,
like Levante David,
aren't vocal.
Right.
So, like, it has to come from some. And I think that from the moment that Jameis Winston came to this team, they thought that this guy was just going to be the savior
and take him to the
promised
land.
You know, it's the Bucs are learning a really tough lesson right now. That it
easier
is,
said than done.
It is. That's not how it goes.
Right.
That's just not how it goes. You can't. Jameis Winston can't just come in here and from the moment he steps on the field as a rookie, do those, and I'm not even complaining about the pregame speeches, but just like do the pregame speeches and all of a sudden it gets better.
Right.
Jameis' first throw in the NFL was a pick six.
That's right.
You know, like, and if that wasn't a giant wake-up call is, oh gosh, this is going to be a journey. This is going to be hard work. And that's what it is right now. Hard work. And if this team, if they stay together and you know, because – 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, you know, when Kwan and Jameis and Mike Evans and these guys are 20, you know, 26, 27, 28 something, then you can start yelling.
Yeah.
Then you've got experience. Like then, you know, I think Kwan is a really passionate guy.
I do
and
too.
Where like sometimes, you know, like the messages that he has to the media, you can just tell when he addresses something.
Yes.
He is so much more of a team fire guy than he is a media answer
exactly.
guy, which is great to have in
He's
the locker
He's got great
room.
Intensity.
He would be a fantastic call a team meeting,
yes.
wake the hell up
yes.
kind of a guy.
He is a Hardy Nickerson, Warren Sapp type demeanor.
Yes. And I think this team needs that, but the problem, I mean, they're just young. They're young right now.
Right.
And so instead.
And it's tough for him.
You're grasping for leadership on vines that aren't sturdy.
That's
you know,
right.
No, you're trying
I think
to pull
that's
somewhere.
A very valid point. And for Kwon Alexander, he's played 9 quarters this year.
Yeah.
He's been on the sideline more than he's been on the field.
And that's
tough, right?
I wrote about this yesterday when I did the little recap. A lot of these guys are thinking the season's over already. And Kwon Alexander, I know that you weren't here yesterday,
yeah.
but when we were talking to him, the first question to Kwon Alexander was, hey, you know, what do you think this team needs to do to maybe turn it around? And Kwon just looked at him, very first thing out of his mouth, meaning he was like, ain't no maybe about it. We're turning this around.
Yeah.
And that comes from a guy who, his season just started.
That's
He's missed 4 games.
Yeah.
His season's just started. He ain't giving up.
Yeah.
He ain't about that. His season just started. And so, like, if you have that guy and you give him some experience, I think a couple years down the road, he's that kind of guy. But, you know.
And here's the thing.
Would Russell Shepard have been that guy last year? To just at least get in people's ear,
yeah,
you know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, you know, they just – because last year, that was my first year on the beat this offseason.
And you were telling me some dog on him.
And you were telling me that Shepard was that guy.
Yeah, he has some dog in him. I mean, that's what I meant to say.
And
so he really is that. And I think,
we don't really have that guy.
I think Kwon, like you said, can be that guy. I really do. But we've seen this before, Mark, especially. And I'm turning to you because after 1997, what happened? This team went 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to win their last game in Cincinnati, which they did 35-0. To get back to 500 on a season where coming off of their first playoff appearance and win in 13 years, that 1998 Buccaneer team was anointed and crowned like they're going to dethrone the Packers.
Right.
It's Trent Dilfer, Warwick Dunn, Mike Alstott, Hardy Nickerson, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, John Lynch. This is the team that's going to dethrone the Packers in 1998, and they got a comeuppance. And then the pendulum swung back again the next year, and they went 11-5.
Right.
You know, but that team also started off, I believe, 3-5 that year in 1999 before they got it together. We also saw this again right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this team started off like gangbusters, beating Philadelphia to open up the Lincoln Financial Field, 17-0 on Monday Night Football. And that quickly turned into 7-9. High expectations. Bucks didn't live up to it. And then we saw in 2010, right, all of a sudden 10-6, Josh Freeman, you know, the next franchise quarterback right. mm-hmm. for this team, or probably at that time the first franchise quarterback of this team. You know, boy, what a smoke and mirror season that was.
Yeah.
So much so that the Glazers and Raheem Morris and Mark Domenech were fooled. Don't do anything to this team in the offseason. We don't even need to add much because we're right there.
Wait, take that back. They added Michael Kanin in free agency.
Okay. That's right. He was
the highest paid kicker. Yeah.
Highest paid punter and kickoff in the NFL, guy, right? Because he did both. That's why
that was their big free agent signing that year.
He was the kickoff guy and the punter.
Right.
Yeah. And so what happens? I mean, they got up to a decent start the next year, but then reality set
four
in.
4-2 and lost their last 10.
That's right.
But what I'm, you know.
So I for whatever reason, and it's been with Tony Dungy, with John Gruden, with Raheem Morris, and now we're seeing it, you know, and I don't even know if you can count Greg Schiano's second year. I mean, it was 7-9. Was that like a great record, you know, per se? It was better than 4-12. They were making some progress, but for whatever reason, and this Buccaneer team has been hyped probably even more so, well, I should say maybe to the degree that the 2003 Buccaneers mm-hmm. were, where this is a Super Bowl team. They just beat Oakland. And who's to say they're not going to do it again and repeat? Right.
You know what? The more I think about this, the more we can look at what Dirk Cutter does and what Jameis Winston does. I think psychologically this team needs something to help turn them around.
Like a bye week?
A win. Yeah, they had that week one.
Yeah.
And it worked. They won
after the bye week. I only say that to stir the pot of fans.
Psychologically, that's such a big part of football, too, the emotional part of things.
Oh, yeah.
The talent I'm not quitting on this team.
The emotional part of this game is huge.
But the longer it goes, the more it gets in your head, too. You know, the more you lose.
If we're thinking it, you know the players that are living, breathing, and doing this thing start to think, well, you know, everybody says this is a lost cause. I guess it is. You know,
DeMar Dotson said it. We talked to him Sunday after the game. You know, DeMar said, DeMar was as down as I've seen him, and he was just being brutally honest. He said, we don't start winning, we're already in a hole. We're going to dig ourselves a hole we can't get out of. And then guess what happens? They start changing the people upstairs. Mm-hmm. DeMar Dotson said that.
He's seen it before.
He's seen it multiple times. So, I think, I don't know if this is as much of a scheme problem as it is an attitude problem. And I say that because how does the defense play so much better at home, particularly against the run, mm-hmm. than they do on the road? We've talked about an attitude. You know, tackling is an attitude.
Yeah.
It's whatever the word I used the other day, Trevor, I can't remember. But, I mean, it's a want to. And
desire,
whatever. I mean, you know, psychologically, this team just isn't on a level playing field. They're as much a roller coaster psychologically as any team that I've seen in a long time, because we aren't questioning the talent on this football team.
No,
we're not.
No, nope.
There's plenty of it. I brought up a point in the mailbag. Literally 90% of the questions were what the blank, but people weren't saying blank.
Right.
And so I went through 1,000 words of answers trying to come up with things. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it to you guys, and I've heard a couple other people mention it too in the media. You know, is there too much? Is there too many weapons for Jameis? I mean, on paper, you can't have too many weapons.
Yeah.
When you've only got basically two guys to focus on, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Then your playbook is semi-cut in half. We talk about coaches that roll a player out. Cuts the field into a third, only gives them a few options.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's not everything going on across 50-yard, the 60-yard wide field, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Is Jameis thinking too much? Too many options out there? Is he too worried about trying to get the ball to this guy or that guy? Because this team wins a game and people want to know why O.J. Howard didn't get involved.
Yeah, no, there are only too many weapons if you let there be too many weapons. Like, when you go into a season, this goes back to identity. You know, you have preseason OTAs, everything. When you're making your playbook in the offseason, what you need to do is you need to have your groupings of plays that you know you run really well.
Mm-hmm.
And those need to be your plays.
Right.
And it does not matter what the other guys do.
Right.
You can get away
right.
from that.
Well, let's take that out of Jameis Winston's hand then.
Okay.
Let's put it in Dirk Cutter's hand.
I mean, it is.
Because now this playbook is this wide instead of this wide. Because when he had Cameron Brate and Mike Evans last year And that was essentially it offensively because Doug Martin was on the shelf. Jacquez Rogers, they went through three or four running backs. They had some guys get hurt.
Right.
I mean, that was it. I mean, he knew that, that there were a certain amount of plays that he was going to call because he knew that those had the best chance to succeed.
Yeah.
Is he thinking, all right, well, we have to try and get this? Why are they bringing Jacquez Rogers in for an entire series? Sometimes two series in a row.
Dirk Cutter played four running backs last Sunday. Four.
Needlessly.
He played all four of them.
Needlessly.
Did Charles Sims get in? I don't remember Sims being in.
And Sims was in the game. Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Peyton Barber's showing up?
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
For what reason?
Why? What are you doing?
That's what I'm saying.
You're running five wide some plays. You're running three tight ends some plays. You're playing all four running backs. What are you doing?
He's trying to experiment during games to find out what's going to work, is what he's doing.
And
that's why this team has no identity.
Correct.
Is because he's trying to figure out on Sundays what's going to work. And it's like I understand why he's doing it, but I'll go back to the Tony Dungy, Mike Shula days, okay, where you knew you were going to get a healthy dose of Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott running the ball between the tackles.
That's fine. That's smash and dash.
Dave Moore in
the red zone.
You playing Jacquez Rogers isn't any different than you playing Doug Martin.
Right.
You playing Charles Sims is literally only giving away what you're doing on a play.
Yep.
You playing Peyton Barber just doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
And Peyton Barber's fine. Peyton Barber's good. Peyton Barber has had really great carries. But I don't care.
Then put Peyton Barber in from the start of the game handing the ball 20 times.
Is Peyton Barber the starting running back?
Because
if he's not, don't give him the ball.
I agree.
I don't care that you have four good running backs.
You
on
had
team.
To wait.
This is not Little League football where you got to get the guy in for five plays a game.
Oh,
there's
my
no
gosh.
Rules.
Yes. Yeah. No, there aren't any parents coming to Dirk Cutter being like, hey, man, you know what? Why isn't my kid getting to play? Come on. Peyton Barber's, whatever.
You waited 3 weeks to get Doug Martin back.
Yeah.
And run him into the ground.
They give him 18 carries or something? That's a plenty amount of carries, and that's not what we're...
He needs to go old school John McKay, handing the ball 42 times, and then if somebody complains, what did John McKay say?
The ball's not that heavy.
It ain't that heavy.
I think, oh man, that's good. That's really good. I think that the coaching staff maybe looks at this and they're like, we're going to give Doug 15, 18 carries.
Yeah.
No. Doug is your starting running back.
Right.
And whatever the game tells you to do, you do it.
Exactly.
Le'Veon Bell got 35 carries 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
You know why? Because Le'Veon Bell is a starting running back.
Yeah.
That's why I did. Some games, Le'Veon Bell gets 12 carries.
Right.
Some games, he gets 35. It seems like this team targets, all right, we're going to give Doug 15, 18 carries.
Well,
he had 18 carries, and then you all of a sudden have guys behind him who are getting carries.
The biggest problem I had last week was
Doug's the best running back.
Yeah, they went away from the running game at times when they shouldn't have. And that game was never until like the final couple of minutes, when you pull the goalie, essentially. But when you have to throw the ball is what I mean. But it's like you're not running the ball when you could. It's not like they were behind
to defend Dirk Cutter
by 14 points or 21 points.
It was pretty windy out there, and sometimes that handoff exchange, the wind can affect that.
Yeah.
So
all right,
you don't want to hand it
off
too
much. Let's talk about the wind for a second. All right, it was a windy day and
blustery.
I like that. That's good.
By the way, guess who knew it was going to be windy the night before?
The weatherman
and everybody on that football team.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. And you said the biggest problem with the passing game was what? After the game, Dirk said what?
The wind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They knew that
you had Jameis Winston,
probably 48.
Jameis Winston, who had an injured throwing shoulder, threw for 38 times in a windy day.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the recipe
for
success.
In a game that you weren't behind more than 10 points until midway through the fourth quarter.
That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. Yeah. Where you could have run the ball right up until the last couple minutes where, you're looking at two more possessions and you got to get two touchdowns here. To win this game or to come back and tie it. And I don't get some of what's happening. And that's why I think Dirk needs to take a step back, hand off the play calling duties to Todd Monken. Unless the offense lights it up in New Orleans and they get a win this Sunday, then this conversation can be saved for later in the season. But I think right now they've got to do some things to shake this up. And it's not like this defense is going gangbusters. You alluded to the problems they have on the road this year. This is a road game coming up. Dirk Cutter's the head coach. He's just as responsible for the defense as Mike Smith is. So in my opinion, he needs to be the head coach and remove the play calling duties from his wheelhouse so he can be the head coach of this football team.
And it's a lot.
In order to turn it around.
We said that it's hard to be a head coach. You got to handle a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard. We're criticizing him because we all recognize it's hard. You've got a ton of things to think about. You have a ton of things that you have to manage and deal with people and the media and the staff and all. It's a tough job.
His gut intuition after the Carolina Panthers game, after this team went 9-7 to end the season,
was
possibly to give up the play calling.
He needs to do it.
That's very telling.
I'm with you.
Well, the prop bet that may be on mybookie.ag, I'm not sure, but the prop bet is what happens first?
Florida fires their head coach.
Dirk Cutter gives up their play calling duties, or Donald Trump leaves office. That's the new prop bet. No?
No, that's not.
But they have some on there, right?
They have prop bets. They got first quarter bets, halftime bets. They got college football, NFL, hockey, NBA. Hopefully you guys got in on some World Series action out there, Pewter Nation.
No, I don't.
But if you haven't really had the opportunity
yet. I don't really watch baseball.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't
is.
Either. I don't like it.
I mean, Game 7 was fun, but I mean.
I found
if
out
they play
this morning
baseball on ice skates, I would like that.
I found out this morning that
they play hockey.
That the Astros won.
How is that possible? Because the Dodgers and the Astros are both in the National League.
That's what I thought.
No.
No?
No.
When did that happen? When did the Astros go to the American League?
See, this one, I like baseball. They changed too much.
You're asking me a baseball question. I told you like 30 seconds ago. I don't really watch baseball. So.
It's a rhetorical question.
I'll start watching baseball when they go back to four foul balls and you're out. When they do that, then I will go back to baseball. Back to 1922.
Well, you got to wait for some baseball action. But other action, other sports action. And the cool thing, too, is that mybookie.ag, they also have casino gaming. So it can be your one-stop shop for
I'm talking about.
That's
any type of
about.
Online gaming. If you haven't done so yet, do so today. Go to mybookie.ag, create an account. If you use the promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, and mention the Pewter Nation podcast on pewterreport.com, they're going to match your initial deposit 100%. That's the best deal going out there.
You're telling me if I put 100 in, I'm getting 200, please.
Bingo. You are getting $200 of which to play with. Yes.
So I've already won.
You've already won, yeah. And their payouts are the fastest that you're going to find on the web. Within 48 hours, you have your money direct deposited into your account, and do with it as you please. I would recommend putting it right back in there because you're on a lucky roll, right? So go to mybookie.ag. I'm having an awful lot of fun with college football, and I'm actually impressing myself as a novice gambler with my little menial $5 bets. But I'm turning $5 into $9.55, lickety-split. So. Join the fun, mybookie.ag, mention Pewter, and they will match your initial deposit 100%.
All right, guys, ran a little long on this podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to read the SR's Fab 5 tomorrow. It's a no-holds-barred SR's Fab 5.
Gloves are coming off.
They are.
Todd Monken for president. That's going to be the title.
Yeah.
All right.
He gets my vote.
Couldn't be any worse. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Can you cut that out, Trevor?
Nope.
Very well. All right, anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. For Trevor Sikkema and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we will see you for another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast sometime next week. Trevor, you're going to New Orleans.
I am.
So we're not sure exactly when we'll do the podcast. Yeah. Hopefully
if
Monday.
If I come back.
If you make it back.
I might just...
We might just French quarter it up, right?
Yeah. I'm with a lot of that.
All right, well, we will definitely have another podcast coming up for you early next week. We appreciate everybody listening. Until then, we say see ya.